Many legends have been told about the gold of pre-Columbian civilizations of the Americas. Imagine, finding gold deep in the middle of the jungle is a dream that has long tantalized the Western world. As the movie Gold, starring Matthew McConaughey, shows us.
We got a gold mine.
We got a gold mine.
We got a gold mine.
Could these stories be mere legends and tall tales? You're listening to Voice of Jewels, a podcast from L'École School of Jewelry Arts, supported by Van Cleef & Arpels, unveiling the stories and secrets behind history's most fascinating jewels. The peoples of South America did leave traces and genuine treasures behind them. Exquisite and mesmerizing gold jewels, some of which can be admired at the Museum of Gold in Bogota, Colombia, and around the world, like recently at the British Museum in London. Among these wonders, there is an odd, striking piece, which looks as sublime as it is frightening. The Zenú people's Golden Claw Necklace. As they landed in northern Colombia in the early 16th century, the Spanish conquistadors and scholars who traveled with them suddenly came across an astonishing landscape, the Zenú territory. What lay before their eyes was a network of man-made canals. These canals irrigated and connected the various regions within their prosperous kingdom, which stretched from the plains on the coast to the Andean mountain ridge. The Spaniards soon found out that this network of canals reflected the Zenú people's vision of the entire cosmos, woven and braided across three dimensions. This tapestry was seen as a bridge between the earthly surface where humans lived and the underworld, where gold was to be found. For them, the only emissaries capable of connecting the world of gold to that of men were animals. Mythical animals like the snake, the coati, or the jaguar.
We must understand the symbolism of the jaguar.
Paul Paradis, art historian and lecturer at L'École, School of Jewelry Arts.
And in the ancient Americas, whether you look in Peru, whether you look in Colombia, the jaguar is power. He's fierce. He's a hunter. So in these cultures, often people take on the attributes of this animal. And part of that is achieved through wearing objects which evoke the animal. We can imagine the person wearing this necklace gleaming in the sun. It might have actually created fear in the enemy. And there's also certainly men would wear in certain rituals. We don't really know that much about what this piece was used for, but we can only imagine.
However, it wasn't the intricate beauty of the landscape, nor its mythological fauna, that drew the conquistadors to the Colombian northern coast in the 16th century, but what the local peoples referred to as the sweat of the sun, gold. In 1519, Martin Fernandez de Enciso, known as the world's first modern geographer, published a book in which he wrote, "There is such an abundance of gold nuggets in Zenú country that they can fish the metal out of streams with mere fishing nets." The tale of a land where rivers teemed with so much gold that one only had to reach down to pick it up acted like a magnet on the Spaniards. One of them was an adventurer named Pedro de Heredia, who later founded the city of Cartagena. But the gold of pre-Columbian America inspired even more extraordinary legends.
Surely the most famous legend, everyone's heard of it, is El Dorado. The Spanish explorers, and then after them, many other explorers have sought all through Central and South America, looking and looking on this quest.
Inés Itagüí Eckel, jewelry historian and teacher at L'École, School of Jewelry Arts.
The truth is, the El Dorado was a person. El Dorado, a person and a ritual, not a place. There's no city of gold. Fortunately, an incredible object exists in almost pure gold called the Muisca Raft. And it shows us the initiation of the new Zipa in Lake Guatavita. It was only found in 1969 inside a ceramic pot in a cave in Pasco, Colombia. It's made of an alloy of gold and copper, but we're talking 80% gold, a little bit of silver. And it's using that exquisite, intricate, and wonderful lost wax method. The casica in the center is surrounded by assistants and rowers. We see the whole ceremony in this object of gold. This myth of El Dorado, the golden one, it started with the Chibcha people. Indeed, it was their custom to cover the new king with gold dust, the new king or chief, we're using our words, with gold dust during the ceremony of enthronement. The new sovereign needed to shine like the sun because he was the child of the sun. That's how he was seen in their religion. It's very important to know that gold for the ancient American peoples was linked to the power of the sun. It was linked to the force of life. After he was covered in gold, this new chief person would bathe in the sacred Lake Guatavita. So he would bathe his golden dust into the lake while the jubilant, overjoyed crowd would throw, of course, precious gold objects into the water. This ceremony is absolutely no myth. There are many objects on display in the Gold Museum in Bogota, Colombia, which show us that, which bear witness to it.
In 1534, when he launched the exploration of Zenú country, explorer Heredia might have heard of the El Dorado. He might have even had the joy of admiring the awe-inspiring golden claw necklace. But legend has it he also met someone, and that he was blown away by this encounter. This corroborates another legend, a legend among the most peculiar and beautiful ones from pre-Columbian America. Queen of Finzenú's legend. Legend tells of how the city of Finzenú once was ruled by a woman before the arrival of European settlers. This queen might have been the most revered figure of all, as the city she ruled over was the Zenú kingdom's religious center. In this city stood a temple overflowing with gold. In a text dating back to 1534, chronicler Pedro Simón describes how conquistador Heredia met with the cachica, the head of the city of Finzenú, whose majesty was that of a great princess. Pedro Simón goes on describing the temple ornate with great gilded statues hung with hammocks filled with gold offerings. These offerings were in plain sight for everyone to see, among which there were gold bells hanging from trees and decorations all over the temple's gates. But this opulence was also intimidating to the conquistadors. One member of Heredia's expedition even called the cachica's palace the devil's hut.
The art of goldsmithing, we must understand, in the ancient Americas did not stop just with jewelry. You could also have decorations on buildings. It was worked in thousands of different ways. It was worked through hammering, through filigree, very important gilding techniques, reduction gilding, for example, where you have an alloy with a lot of copper. We call that tumbaga. And by reducing the molecules of the copper through heating, the gold becomes much more apparent. And most of these techniques were actually dedicated to creating objects of devotion and of metamorphosis. Gold was not used as a money, as an exchange. It was used by leaders of these cults.
The demon-like queen of Finzenú, who ruled over a gold city, might have been a mere fabrication. But one thing is for sure. Powerful native women were a key element of pre-Columbian societies, and particularly in the Zenú kingdom. Aside from Heredia, many more Spanish soldiers told of striking encounters with warrior women, like the female archer in Cartagena, who killed no less than 8 Spaniards before she was taken prisoner. Was the gold claw necklace designed for her? Beyond their power and bravery during battles, women were at the core of Xenu cosmogony. Their creation myth relied on a mother goddess figure, a primordial deity, creator of all things. Women and gold were so closely connected that in the Cueva language of the Xenus, the word for woman is Ira, and that for gold, Irabra.
So going back to jewelry, this Xenu gold claw necklace is just one example, but a perfect example, of the genius of these ancient American goldsmiths, a genius which is lost, but preserved for us when we find evidence like this necklace. They didn't just create incredible objects of power by mysterious goldsmithing methods like the Kimbaya helmets, because it's extremely difficult to pound out and shape those helmets. But they also created jewelry that purely celebrates beauty. The claws, these feline claws and the way they're mounted, gives us an idea of all the marvels that were lost and also gives us the chance to celebrate what has been saved and preserved.
In 2015, 500 years after the Spanish conquest of Colombia, the Xenu councils reconnected with their forefathers' traditions. They elected Taina Contreras as their first cachica, at the head of 19 indigenous communities. The woman lives on a farm, where she grows corn and keeps bees and sells the honey. But no one knows if in secret she wears gold jewels with beautiful animal designs. Voice of Jewels, a podcast from L'École School of Jewelry Arts, supported by Van Cleef & Arpels. With Inezita Gay Eckel, jewelry historian and lecturer at L'École School of Jewelry Arts, and Paul Paradis, art historian and lecturer at L'École School of Jewelry Arts. Written by Martin Kenéon and Aram Kebadjian. Performed by Eduardo Ballerini and produced by Bababam.